ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. Big show we have for you today. Ian Carroll will be joining us in the third hour. We'll be talking a lot about what happened last night at the GPUSA event as the MAGA Civil War was on full display. We'll show you clips from sort of competing clips from Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro. I'll give you my read of the situation. I doubt you're going to be very surprised that Ben Shapiro is literally wrong about everything and should shut up and go away. Spoiler alert, that's basically the outcome. But we'll show you why that is. We got a lot of videos to show you as well. We'll be looking at the fallout from the Australian terror attack that continues to be utterly insane, inverted, and ridiculous. We'll look at what they're doing in the UK, trying to program young boys to be weak and submissive. And we have a whole bunch of other health stuff to talk about as well. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, folks. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 19th of December, 2025. The Brown University shooter case has ended in the most bizarre way possible. Brown University shooter found dead, identified as Portuguese national Claudio Manuel Neves Vellante. Providence Police Chief Oscar Perez announced that the suspect gunman who carried out the shooting at Brown University on Saturday, who took his own life tonight, was identified as Claudio Manuel Neves Vellante, a 48-year-old Portuguese national. He was reportedly found dead inside a storage unit in Salem, New Hampshire, told Fox News national correspondent Brooke Taylor. Perez said that a video submitted provided authorities with a description of a vehicle that was corroborated through a tip that was received to the tip center. The vehicle was then picked up by flock cameras, which led authorities to a rental place in Massachusetts and a rental agreement with the shooter's real name. So essentially, we went from several days of having absolutely no information, no description, terrible video that hardly showed anything. For days on end, we got absolutely nothing. Then they announced they had a suspect but didn't announce his name. Now the suspect was found dead in a storage unit. And apparently he's the same shooter that killed the university professor, the MIT professor in Boston. The whole thing is convoluted and really doesn't make any sense. And I'll give you the whole timeline here in just a little bit. But apparently it was a homeless guy with a Reddit account somehow found the guy. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how they caught the guy. I don't believe it. Meanwhile, America 250 plans revealed, the plans for our 250th anniversary of the founding of this country. The Trump administration will host the world's largest fireworks display in the world, as well as a competition, an athletic competition, where one man and one woman from each state and territory will go to Washington, D.C. and compete against each other in a set of games very suspiciously similar to the Hunger Games. I mean, I'm for it. I like it. It's just, why one man and one woman from each state? Why not teams from each state? I wonder. That's a little odd. Meanwhile, Trump refuses to answer questions with Epstein files set to be released imminently, so they will not be released today. They're missing the release date, probably by a couple of weeks, as the DOJ frantically delays the release that they're compelled to do by the Congress. So we'll get back into this a little bit more later, but not a lot of Epstein files being released today, even though they say they'll be released in tranches. They're supposed to all be released today by order of the Congress, but, you know, Congress doesn't actually run things. Meanwhile, Fulton County says 315,000 votes are lacking the sign-off that they were required to have in order to be counted. Well, they were counted without that sign-off, meaning that there were approximately 315,000 votes uncertified, not legally allowed to be counted, but they were. This in a county in a state won by a little over 11,000. So seems like maybe when Trump was going into Georgia trying to get them to change the outcome of the election, he was actually trying to get a legitimate election with not 300,000 plus ballots that should never have been counted in the first place being included. So there you go. Finally, we have this. Russia ready to compromise on Ukraine, according to Putin. Russia is ready for negotiations and a peaceful settlement to the Ukraine conflict. However, the ball is now in Kiev's Western backers' court, President Vladimir Putin has said. We'll show you more clips from some speeches he made later in the show. Stay with us, folks.
Challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue. continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Well, folks, I hate to say I steered you wrong. I was off by literally 1 minute. I said that they have not released any Epstein files. And I look up and I see a tweet from Disclosed.tv. They'd been released 53 seconds ago, it was announced that the Epstein files have been released. And I click on it, and it says, you're the first in line, or you're now in line. Wait time is 1 minute. So I now have access. Apparently, they are limiting the number of people that can look at this for some reason. It's kind of odd. But here we have the official justice.gov/Epstein library. This site houses materials responsive under the Epstein File Transparency Act. This site will be updated if additional documents are identified for release. Some of the library's contents include descriptions of sexual assault. As such, be advised that certain portions of this library may not be appropriate for all readers. Guys, I'm not sure if you're able to pull up my computer screen, but we might have to just go through this, considering that it literally broke 1 minute ago from Telegraph. Donald Trump's Department of Justice has begun releasing the Epstein files in what is expected to be the largest ever publication of information related to the pedophile and his high-profile associates. The tranche of documents expected to include court filings, photos, and email correspondence are being published by Donald Trump's Department of Justice, which is under a 30-day deadline to make them public. Hundreds of thousands of documents are expected to be released. However, the DOJ has not published all of the files it holds on the pedophile. Todd Blanche, U.S. Deputy Attorney General, said earlier on Friday more pages would be released in the coming weeks, prompting accusations of a cover-up. Victims of Epstein, Democrats, and a large swath of Mr. Trump's own supporters pushed for the files release, hoping they would expose the financier's links to the rich and powerful. So here they were just released. A wave of files. Our reporters sifted through the documents and will provide updates as soon as they learn more information. Now they say Trump's name will not be redacted. Donald Trump has not requested that his name be redacted from the Epstein files, the deputy attorney general has said. There's no effort to hold back because there's the name Donald J. Trump or anybody else's name, Bill Clinton, Reid Hoffman's name. There's no effort to hold back. We're not holding back because of that. Okay, so there you go. So we now have access to the files here. We're having trouble with the connection to my computer a little bit, but I mean, maybe that y'all can just pull it up on the computer in there and we can go through it, because this will be the first look and we'll have to just do this live. We didn't have time to go through this beforehand because it was published a minute ago. So it looks like there are court records. The redaction of victims' names and other identifying information has been added by the department prior to this production, as indicated by markings of read DOJ redaction. Multiple records also contain pre-existing redactions required by applicable law, regulations, and court orders. And so you've got all of these various court filings. Man, there's a lot of them. 2018, 2019, 2015, 2009. So these go back at least to the earliest I'm seeing so far, I think, was 2008. Holy goodness. Yeah, there's a lot to go through here. We're not going to be able to even do this live. We're going to have somebody else go through. So each one of these has, oh my God, 54 PDFs. Okay, so that's the court records section. DOJ disclosures, including disclosures under the Epstein File Transparency Act. So I guess this is the big one. Redaction of victims' names and other identifying information have been applied in audio files. Redactions of victim names and other identifying information have been implemented through the use of steady, solid tone. So they've bleeped out things in the. Well, here you go. Data set 1, data set 2, data set 3. Looks like I'm going to have to download all these. BOP video footage. So what is BOP then? First phase of declassified Epstein files. Evidence list from U.S. versus Maxwell. Flight log from U.S. versus Maxwell. Contact booked, redacted. That's interesting. Masseuse list, redacted as well. All right, so this is looks like the list that has been published for a while, right? This isn't anything new, I don't think. At least it looks like ones I've seen before. But maybe these are new names. So that's interesting. We were told there was no list, but here it's been published. Contact book, redacted. Masseuse list, redacted. So these would be the victims. So they're all redacted under the masseuse list. It's just a giant black box of 254 names. Yeah, this is, I mean, I guess they're the victims. They call them masseuses, but this is like a parody of, you know, information released from the government. Ah, sure, we'll release the government, or we'll release the information. Here's the documents. And it's just a wall of black, just no text whatsoever. Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. I mean, I guess they're the victims, so I'm not complaining that much, but that's pretty funny. Videos. So BOP, would that be Bureau of Prison? I think that's Bureau of Prison. So here they have the 10-hour footage. So this would be the same camera that they had set up for, that they released the footage from, that a minute was missing. So now we have 10 hours of the footage, I guess. We'll have to scrub through this. And you can just leave my computer screen up if possible, since I'll be referencing everything from it. Or put it up behind me. That might be more convenient. Okay, so we have the video from the Bureau of Prison. Two versions of the same video. One that's been enhanced, apparently, somehow. And then we have each of the individual ones. So this is the Department of the Bureau of Prison's memo about what's going on. As part of our commitment to transparency, the Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation have concluded an exhaustive review of investigative holdings relating to Jeffrey Epstein. To ensure that the review was thorough, the FBI conducted digital searches of its databases, hard drives, and network drives, as well as physical searches of squad areas, locked cabinets, desks, closets, and other areas where responsive material may have been stored. These searches uncovered a significant amount of material, including more than 300 gigabytes of data and physical evidence. The files relating to Epstein include a large volume of images of Epstein, images and videos of victims who are either minors or appear to be minors, and over 10,000 downloaded videos and images of illegal child sex abuse material and other pornography. Teams of agents, analysts, attorneys, and privacy and civil liberties experts combed through the digital and documentary evidence with the aim of providing as much information as possible to the public while simultaneously protecting victims. Much of the material is subject to court-ordered sealing. Only a fraction of this material would have been aired publicly had Epstein gone to trial, as the seal served only to protect victims and did not expose any additional third parties to allegations of illegal wrongdoing. Through this review, we found no basis to revisit the disclosure of those materials and will not permit the release of child pornography. All right, well, I'm not complaining about that. So BOP video footage, they have, again, you'll recognize this. This was part of what they released. And remember, it had a minute missing, and they came up with all these weird excuses for why that was. But here you see this is 11 hours of footage, 10 hours and 52 minutes of footage that I guess we can scrub through. Don't have time to do it now. It'll be good to get AI on this, and then you have the individual videos by hour, I guess. They say 300. I don't know why that's included under the BOP video footage. It looks like there's no footage other than just that one camera. So when they talk about all those things. Redactions of victims' names. This is Maxwell Proffer. All right. So I guess I'm downloading all these files. I guess that's what we're going to do now. This is the transparency. Oh, my God. So look at this. So 9 pages. How many pages are there of this data set? 13. I could just click last, I guess, huh? Oh, my God. 51 pages of these PDFs. Yeah, I'm gonna need a new hard drive or something to download all these. Should we see what at least one looks like? Okay, so these are photos. Interesting. Should I not open these live on air, do you think? What do you think we're going to see? What do you think we're going to find here? Now, wait a second. These all look like hard drives. Maybe that's just packaging. All right. Do we have any information about what these pictures are? OK, Okay? They really love creepy freaking statues. That's one thing we're figuring out. So I guess, I don't know. Seems like this is a job for AI. Seems like we need to plug all of these into AI and go, tell us the weird ones. Show us the weird ones that we want to see. So we have hundreds and thousands of these pictures. Let me just click ones at random here. I'm not going to be able to go through. We almost had some we were not allowed to show. All right, maybe I shouldn't be clicking through. Maybe I shouldn't just be clicking through these. I don't know. I kind of assumed they'd all be safe for work, but that's kind of stupid of me. All right, so we'll have to go through these, and maybe we have somebody in the background digging through and finding things interesting. Like I said, you know, we could do a live here, but it's a lot of information. So that's breaking news here. That just broke a minute before we went live. That all of these have been published. I guess I'll systematically go through and download them all now. That's what we'll have to do. Access denied. Excuse me. I'm an American citizen. These were for me. Oh, we do have some documents in here. It's not all pictures. All right. All right. I'm not going to waste your time just going through this one by one, but we'll have to do that. Interesting. They would wait until Friday afternoon to release this, but I guess that was what they're obligated to do. So now we have all weekend to pour through. Won't that be fun? Apparently there's audio and video in there as well. We'll have to download it and go through it. So that's very interesting to see. Now, what we know about this so far, the DOJ's Public Affairs Office wrote on X that it's releasing a massive trove of documents that the Biden and Obama administrations declined to make public, calling the criticism ridiculous framing. Yes, criticism of the fact that it's not all being released right now. The House passed the Epstein Files Transparency Act 427-1 on November 18th, followed by a Senate approval via unanimous consent that same evening. The bill then went to President Trump, who signed it, triggering the mandated release of the DOJ documents by today. Key Epstein files released this month on December 3rd. We saw the videos and home photos of the private island, but they weren't new photos and videos. They'd already been published previously. On December 12th, you have explosive Epstein photo shows Trump, Clinton, and ex-Prince Andrew. Again, we, you know, looked through some of those. Nothing too informative there. And now December 18th, new Epstein file reveals sickening photos of women with vile Lolita messages scrawled on their bodies. We looked at some of those yesterday. DOJ insists initial deadline for Epstein files is being met. They ferociously hit back at claims from Democrats and critics of Donald Trump that they will fail to meet the Friday deadline to release the Epstein files. A spokesman for the DOJ responded to a Politico headline reading DOJ won't meet Friday deadline to release all the Epstein files. Ridiculous framing, DOJ wrote on X. The DOJ is releasing a massive tranche of new documents that the Obama and Biden administrations refused to release. So it doesn't sound like they're releasing all of them today, but as we've seen, there is a massive tranche that's now available. And Trump did not ask that his name be removed. So we'll get the full story here. So I guess we'll see more tranches released is what we've heard. But already what we've seen, those are some pretty huge data sets. So I think we'll be able to find out a lot from that. But okay, that was a surprise. I didn't expect that to be revealed the minute we went on air, but there it is. I guess I did know that. I guess they said, I remember reading yesterday that it would be released at 3 p.m. because I remember thinking, ah, yes, finally, I'll actually be able to cover it on air. So this would always happen when I would do the morning show. It would be like a major release right after my show or a few hours after it ended. So I was actually looking forward. I didn't actually expect it to be so right on time at exactly 3 o'clock. That's very interesting. And we'll have to go through that. We'll probably talk about that more with Ian in the third hour when he gets in. I'm sure he's pouring through it as we speak. But I want to get back to something that was on the table with the Alex Jones show. TPUSA last night had a big event, and it was a sort of microcosm of the MAGA Civil War, if you can call it that, which if you've been watching this show, you know, it's not as much a civil war as it is an attempt by a foreign state to take total control of the Republican Party in America, in part to, you know, guarantee that they have their own servants in the halls of power. But an additional sort of bonus to this is that the Republican Party itself, as a barrier to so many of the designs of the New World Order, will eventually be destroyed by this infighting that, I remind you, did not come out of the America First camp, who has, for the entire time Trump has been in politics, been anti-Israel. I mean, this isn't anything new. And this is something that, again, I think people need to understand. MAGA was always anti-Israel in the beginning. In 2015 and 2016, before Trump got the nomination, if you went to a place like r/TheDonald on Reddit, it was anti-Israel, because Trump got his start and really made his name in politics. Like, the first debate that he did, that he really blew everybody out of the water, the main clip that came out of it was him savaging Jeb Bush and saying, "Your brother sent us to war on a false pretense." And the whole opposition to the Middle East war, a conservative Republican who was in opposition to the Middle East wars, that was the selling point. That was the thing that got him through and made him unique amongst everybody else running for that position. So obviously, naturally, if you're against the Middle East wars, you're probably not the biggest fan of Israel, who tends to be the one who starts and benefits and encourages America to participate in them. But then Trump got the nomination. Then he became the lead Republican. And suddenly, and I just spent a lot of time on the Donald back then, and so that's where I saw it happen, where all the mods got replaced and new mods got brought in, and suddenly it became a pro-Israel outlet. So this MAGA civil war that everybody's talking about is not new. It's existed the entire time MAGA has existed. It's just gone into overdrive with the overwhelming support of Israel that Trump and his associates have been spewing for the last year, and the fact they're trying to get us into a war with Iran, and just the fact that anti-Semitism, so-called, has exploded ever since Israel started to genocide the Gazans in a way that could be live-streamed and shared on TikTok. From Mediaite, TPUSA turns into war between Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson. Turning Point USA's America Fest conference turned into a war between Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson on Thursday, as the two men spent much of their speeches trading blows. During his speech, Shapiro attacked Carlson for hosting controversial guests on his show, including Nick Fuentes and Andrew Tate. Shapiro also attacked the former Fox News host for refusing to condemn Candace Owens amid her ongoing conspiracy theories about the assassination of Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. Quote, "The people who refuse to condemn Candace's truly vicious attacks, and some of them are speaking here, are guilty of cowardice." "Yes, cowardice," squeaked Shapiro. "You're all cowards." And shut up, twink. Let's go to some of these videos. Let's go to clip number 11 first. This is Ben Shapiro making those initial attacks, and he went first on the stage that night. And I want to, you know, set this up with the reminder that this event was announced while Charlie Kirk was still alive. And Charlie Kirk made the announcement of who would be in the lineup for this event, and Ben Shapiro was not included on that lineup. So at some point in between the assassination of Charlie Kirk and the event of America Fest last night, Ben Shapiro was added to the lineup, added almost specifically to, you know, make this attack, because, again, the Israeli side is the side that's causing the division. Ben Shapiro should not even have been on this stage if Charlie was still alive. He probably wouldn't have been. At least he wasn't when Charlie was alive. Somehow he got shoehorned in here in order to basically condemn and cause division and attack one of the, you know, most prominent and effective and popular voices on the right, Tucker Carlson. Let's go to clip 11 here.
"That actually get at the truth. If we agree with a guest, that's fine, but we should own it. So, for example, if you host a Hitler apologist, Nazi-loving, anti-American piece of refuse like Nick Fuentes, you know, the Nick Fuentes who said that the Vice President of the United States is a, quote, fat gay race traitor married to a Jeet. The person who said that Charlie Kirk was a, quote, retarded idiot. The person who said, and pardon my language here, it's his quote, that he wipers. If you have that person on your show and you proceed to glaze him, you ought to own it. There is a reason that Charlie Kirk despised Nick Fuentes, and indeed even chided Dinesh D'Souza for debating him. He knew that Nick Fuentes is an evil troll and that building him up is an act of moral imbecility. And that is precisely what Tucker Carlson did. He built Nick Fuentes up. And he ought to take responsibility for that, just as he ought to take responsibility for glazing pornographer and alleged sex trafficker Andrew Tate, or for mainstreaming fake historian and pseudo-Nazi apologist Daryl Cooper as America's best and most honest popular historian. Hosts are indeed responsible for the guests they choose and the questions they ask those guests.
Yeah, so again, you know, if you want to talk about the MAGA Civil War, there's one side that's speaking their mind, the Tucker Carlson side, that has differences with the state of Israel, that, you know, isn't comfortable with the way some of American politics are going, and they're simply speaking about that in a, in my opinion, responsible and effective way. And then along comes Ben Shapiro to call you all evil and condemn you and criticize you for the guests that you have on. It's literally antithetical to everything that MAGA was supposed to be about, but that's not a surprise from Ben Shapiro, who spent his entire career railing against identity politics while being simultaneously dedicated to life for his, dedicated for life to his ethnic cohort. So he's a hypocrite. He's a vile hypocrite who shouldn't have been on the stage in the first place. When Charlie Kirk announced who would be on the stage on the 26th of August this year, it included Tucker Carlson, included Steve Bannon, it included Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld, as well as Glenn Beck and a number of other big names. It did not include Ben Shapiro, though, so not sure how he got in on there when this was first announced without him, but he was there to make a bunch of trouble and piss everybody off and cause division, because of course he did. We'll go to some videos of Tucker Carlson responding to this on the other side. But first, let's go to clip number 24. Well, let's go to clip number 20 or 12 here. Clip number 12. This is Ben Shapiro talking about, you know, us, the people that have been right the entire time, where he's been wrong the entire time. Let's watch.
We have a duty to propose solutions. That's why we have to talk about our problems in order to find the solutions. That's what politics was supposed to be about, after all, finding solutions to our common problems. If we speak endlessly about the problems we face without ever positing a solution other than wrecking the system or centralizing power in a cult-like figure, we are not finding solutions. We are merely making problems worse. Just asking questions, positing vague conspiracies, raving like Alex Jones about the secret confederacies that control your life, none of it makes your life better. None of it. In fact, it makes your life markedly worse. That's because if you truly come to believe that nothing in your life is in your control, you can't even take control of your own life. You despair of your ability to change your own circumstances, and then you fail. And you must not fail.
So obviously completely absurd straw man. Nobody's saying that you have no control or that all of this is outside of your control. Actually, the Alex Jones message, the InfoWars message has been the exact opposite. It's you are the resistance. You do have to get involved. You have to actually fight this war that's being waged against you. Ben Shapiro says not to do that. It'll make your life markedly worse. I don't know. It's made my life a hell of a lot better. I actually have met a lot of people whose lives have been transformed in a positive way, because they actually started talking about this and taking this on head first. So Ben Shapiro lying to you because he's a weaselly little liar, man. So we'll get back to the weasel and his lies on the other side.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work, so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four, straight ahead. So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Again, Chief USA last night, as reported by media, turned into a war. The MAGA civil war exploding for everybody to see. Now, Ben Shapiro went first and had some truly nasty attacks against Tucker Carlson, basically belittling him and talking about how conspiracies don't exist. There's this article written by Ben Shapiro's compatriot, Barry Weiss, at the Free Press. Only cowards tolerate conspiracy theorists, Ben Shapiro speaks during Turning Point's annual America Fest. And it's like, who is this? Who are you trying to trick, I guess, is the question I want to ask Ben Shapiro. Who are you even saying this for? I really don't think you're fooling anybody. What do you mean conspiracy theories, like conspiracies don't exist? You can theorize about conspiracies. Ben Shapiro himself spreads conspiracies all the time. Hell, October 7th was a conspiracy. It was a bunch of Hamas people conspiring to get together in secret to plan an attack. Are you a coward for believing that? I mean, it's kind of baffling to read because this would make sense 15 years ago. This argument was pretty popular back then. Who is he even making it for now? What do you mean conspiracies don't exist? We have literally seen them exposed in black and white over and over and over again. What was Russiagate if not a conspiracy? What was the start of the Ukraine war if not a conspiracy? What was, I mean, just like all of this, stealing the 2020 election? What about COVID-19 itself and the response? They were all conspiracies. Sorry, but like, what are you talking about? Who were you trying to trick? I want to remind you, Ben Shapiro has been wrong about everything. He was anti-Trump in the beginning, right? I still don't think he's pro-Trump. He's pro-Trump so far as Trump does what's good for Israel, but not anything else. He was wrong about COVID-19. He was wrong about the vaccines. He was wrong about the election being stolen. I mean, he's been on the wrong side of literally every single topic you can bring up. And that's the reason why nobody's watching him anymore. I mean, he is cratering completely. Like, he's not even, doesn't even make the charts anymore in terms of like popularity podcasts. He's being blown out of the water by Candace Owens. He's being blown out of the water by Nick Fuentes. He's being blown out of the water by InfoWars. How does he even have a position on this stage? Because where Ben exists is a strata of American politics that is completely separate from the will of the people and sort of has an ability to perpetuate itself and disguise itself with the appearance of popularity when nobody actually likes them or wants to hear from them or believes what they say. So it's a fabricated, propped up class of people that Ben Shapiro is sort of the kingpin of. And it's been this way forever. It's been this way the entire time. I don't think I need to remind you that at the time when Ben Shapiro, you know, Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire, I think Nick Fuentes had a piece about this last night about Facebook and Daily Wire and how Daily Wire was their number two advertiser for all of Facebook. They were the corporation that was spending the most on advertising on Facebook at a time when every other outlet like InfoWars or Nick Fuentes was banned from the platform. So like, you can't imagine the leg up Ben Shapiro has had for his entire career. And then at a time where he is the most prominent conservative on Facebook, the most prominent conservative on YouTube, because he's allowed to be there and nobody else is, right? Kind of easy to dominate a space where your co-ethnics forcibly expel everybody that's not you. Wow, real incredible stuff, Ben. But then he's the one that's invited to go talk to the U.S. Senate about censorship. Never been subjected to censorship. Quite the opposite. Never been kicked off of platforms. Literally the opposite. Whereas Alex Jones was the target of a systematic big tech-wide takedown on one day in 2018 when we were kicked off of hundreds of platforms, including every major social media platform, every major podcast distribution platform, every major advertising online platform. We didn't get invited somehow. Ben Shapiro did. Why? Because it was all a show. Because Ben's in on it. And wants to play the part of the, free speech warrior standing up against censorship. It's a complete lie. And the speech he just gave at TPUSA exposes that. He's not in favor of free speech. He's not against cancellation. He's actually in favor of all of that as long as it serves his actual identity, his actual loyalty, which is to the Jews and the state of Israel, not to America. He himself has made that abundantly clear over and over again when directly asked. And he says things like, my loyalty to America, the greatest guarantor of my loyalty to America is the existence of the state of Israel. Okay, you are a foreign interloper. I think we all recognize that now. So really, it's absurd that he's even on the stage in the first place. Then he's the one that launches the attacks. And then it becomes MAGA civil war breaks out. No, it's not a civil war. We're perfectly fine. Everybody loves Tucker Carlson. Everybody loves Steve Bannon. Everybody loves Alex Jones on the right wing. Just massive, roof-shaking cheers whenever these guys come out on stage. Ben Shapiro, not so much. Now, he's still a star in the right wing. There are still people that, pay attention to him and like him. And to be honest, he was a gateway to a lot of people that have now moved beyond his containment operation. But he still, had effective arguments in 2016, 2017 against the identity politics that he ironically has now dedicated himself to. So Tucker Carlson was attacked by Ben Shapiro, is how this actually went. It's not a MAGA civil war. It's a outside force attacking MAGA from the inside. We've just heard him attacking Tucker, as well as Alex Jones, talking about vague conspiracies. They're not vague. We know exactly who they are, and they like brag about it. See, again, it doesn't even make any sense. This is just a purely establishment talking point. Conspiracies don't exist. You're crazy or a coward if you believe in conspiracy theories. Conspiracies exist all around you. Some are approved by the mainstream media, some aren't. The official story of 9/11 is a conspiracy. The theories about 9/11, also conspiracies. They're both conspiracies. They both involve groups of people organizing, plotting behind the scenes to carry out attacks. That's a conspiracy. So what is he talking about? What he doesn't want you to do is to be able to talk about or discuss the open conspiracies now destroying our rights in a very real and tangible way that primarily come from the ADL, the Jewish lobby, the Jewish diaspora, the Israeli-linked control mechanisms that are trying to destroy us. So, in fact, before I go to Tucker Carlson, let me just abolish what Ben Shapiro is saying about a non-existent conspiracy. Oh, these shadowy forces that meet in secret. It's not shadowy. It's not in secret. It's just a conspiracy. It's an open conspiracy at this point. Maybe that's what he's talking about. But I guess, you know, just to disprove him utterly and talk about the conspiracies that he's actually trying to cover up, that he actually doesn't want you asking questions about. Let's go to clip number 22 here. This is Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL.
Now, just last week, leaders of the world's seven largest Jewish communities convened in Australia as part of the 2025 J7 summit. This is a summit organized by ADL as part of the J7 task force to combat anti-Semitism, a convening of representative bodies of the largest Jewish communities on earth.
So the J7, as we said, is comprised of the seven largest diaspora communities. We meet every other week via Zoom to share information, to share best practices. We share what worked for our communities, what hasn't worked, what might work elsewhere. We have shared tips or draft legislation that might work in other countries or spoken of different litigation. A lot of what has been very important has been this consultation where we can learn from each other, learn the trends that are coming in, learn the techniques that others have used successfully, and what might be coming our way. Because what happened in Montreal could happen in Melbourne, and what happens in New York or London or Paris will make its way to Buenos Aires. That's number one. Number two, we do speak in one voice in certain aspects on key advocacy. So for example, when we left Australia, our call to action was on the Australian government to move forward the special envoy Gillian Siegel's plan on anti-Semitism, which has been stalled for a number of months, to accept it and to implement it. It was significant that the leaders of the seven largest diaspora communities went to Australia to show solidarity, publicly with the community, with government leaders and the media, and also make this joint call to action. Finally, we have meetings that are some off the record, some on the record with world leaders in which we share our community's concerns and call for action. So it's both a really important body for consultation and learning from each other, as well as an effective tool when we can come together and speak in one voice.
Okay, so article from Information Liberation, ADL, seven largest Jewish communities hold bi-weekly meetings to share tips and draft legislation. Now, this wouldn't actually be that big of a deal. It wouldn't actually be a matter of concern. After all, I'm sure every religion has groups that meet on regular basis to check base, or they hold summits. That happens everywhere. The reason it's negative, the reason this is something that we should be concerned about, is because they're drafting legislation to destroy our rights, to carve out special protections for certain people that don't apply to others, or special, caveats to free speech laws that say, well, certain speech is actually violence and should be shut down. And we'll see how I'll play you how this is happening, how this is being implemented in Australia in a totally bizarre and nonsensical and inverted way, which is exactly what they're talking about, implementing. So, in Australia, you have a Muslim apparently radicalized by ISIS shoot a bunch of Jewish people at a Hanukkah celebration, clearly an act motivated by anti-Semitism. And yet all of the legislation being presented prioritizes and focuses primarily on the threat of Nazism, that is white solidarity, white sovereignty. So, if they were coming together to write a proposal, a legislative bill to expel all the Muslims in Australia, yeah, maybe that would be fit for a purpose. Maybe that would be an appropriate reaction to an attack by a Muslim person. But when that attack is then weaponized against the white Australians whose policies would have prevented the attack in the first place, you can see where this is not, a group active, actually trying to fight back against threats against their people, but rather being weaponized as a political population, like their population being weaponized to achieve political ends that are in fact contrary to the safety and security of the people they're supposed to represent. Do you understand how little sense this makes and how this is, in effect, a conspiracy? It's a conspiracy to take your rights. It's people conspiring to come together to utilize mass casualty events to transform that into legislation that deprives you of your right to own guns or to speak freely. It's not good. It's happening all over the world in 1,000 different ways. It's death by 1,000 cuts. It's completely infuriating. And not only that, but we'll get to another video in just a second of Ben Shapiro talking about young white men and basically saying, shut up, stop complaining. But the reality is, as we showed you yesterday, talking about the Compact magazine story about how white men are discriminated against in a very blatant and obvious and offensive and detrimental way, that was a conspiracy as well. That started in 2014, as the guy who wrote the article noted. And we pointed out that it was the Rockefeller Foundation and the World Economic Forum and BlackRock and Larry Fink and the Rothschild organizations who came together in 2014 and said, this is what we're pushing. This is what we're foisting on corporations from now on. We're going to have ESG, DEI be embedded in our financial system, and we'll give benefits to people who don't hire white people. That's a conspiracy. That wasn't a... And so what Ben Shapiro is doing here is serving the interest of the media, the mainstream media, whose role, as I've explained many times, is to normalize things that shouldn't be normal, to establish, patterns and trends that don't actually exist by extrapolating from a single instance, like George Floyd's death. Suddenly that becomes black men are being genocided. No. So it's perception management is all it is. So what Ben Shapiro is doing is telling you all of this stuff that's happening to you, there's nothing you can do to fight back against it. It's up to you to conform yourself to the trend. It's up to you to understand, hey, your government brought in a bunch of illegal immigrants that are now raising the rent prices and pricing you out of your hometown. Deal with it. You got to move now. That was Ben Shapiro's advice. Oh, the factory that, your town was built around that used to employ thousands of people got offshored to China by some major corporation. Well, tough crap. Guess you got to move. Guess you got to go where the jobs are. Right? Nothing you can do about it. Not like you can agitate, not like you can organize, not like you can get together and demand things from your government. It's not like you can replace the people in office with people that will serve your interests. No. You are to respond to other people's provocation. You're not supposed to take the initiative. You're supposed to always bend yourself and comport yourself and conform your own mind to the way things are going, not the other way around. So that's what Ben Shapiro's doing. He's telling you it's up to you to get used to the way things are. Don't try to change them. Don't try to interrupt the process as it's proceeding. Don't try to alter the trajectory whatsoever. You have to conform yourself to the way the world is going. And the way the world is going is that it hates you, it hates your people, hates your identity and your heritage. And they're systematically depriving you of all of your, inheritance. And your response should be to say thank you and to conform yourself to it. So that's a despicable way of talking. And Tucker Carlson called him out for this. Let's go to clip 26 here. This is Tucker Carlson's response to Ben Shapiro. After Ben Shapiro comes on and unleashes these vicious, very nasty and defamatory attacks against Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson comes back and basically obliterates him. Let's watch.
I just got here, and I feel like I missed the first part of the program. Hope I didn't miss anything meaningful. But I just want to say, I don't think I did. No, I'm just kidding. I watched it. I laughed. That kind of bitter, sardonic laugh that emerges from you when, like, upside-down world arrives. When your dog starts doing your taxes, and you're like, wait, it's not supposed to work this way. To hear calls for, like, deplatforming and denouncing people at a Charlie Kirk event, I'm like, what? This is hilarious. Yeah, this is hilarious. Actually, one of the clips I was listening to myself, thinking as I often do when I hear myself speak, which is never because I never watch myself, but at these events, they always play, like, the role of you. And I'm like, that guy is pompous. Woo! Sorry about that. We don't see ourselves clearly. But the prediction that, you know, at some point when Republicans took power again, which I did everything I could, you know, to help and really felt that was important. I still think, you know, I was right. But I really thought that the impulse to deplatform people or even to use the word platform as a verb, which it's not, it's a noun. Don't steal my nouns. Deplatform and denounce. Why haven't you denounced somebody else? The whole like Red Guard Cultural Revolution thing that we so hated and feared on the left that we did everything we could to usher in a new time where you could have an actual debate. I mean, this kind of was the whole point of Charlie Kirk's public life. And I think that he died for it. I really believe that. And I know a lot about it because the last several months of Charlie's life were devoted in part to arguing about this event, in fact, this speech, in fact, my speech here, which he asked me to do earlier this year, this summer, and was immediately put under just immense pressure from people who give money to Turning Point, I would assume good people, but who wanted him to take me off the roster. And this has all become public, and the whole thing is so sad that I never talk about it, except to say Charlie stood firm in his often stated and deeply held belief that people should be able to debate, and that if you have something valid to say, if you're telling the truth, you ought to be able to explain it calmly and in detail to people who don't agree with you, and that you shouldn't immediately resort to shut up racist. You shouldn't immediately go to motive. By the way, shut up racist is the number one reason I voted for Donald Trump. And because I'm just sick of it. I mean, first of all, if I was a racist, if I was a bigot, I would just say so. Okay, it's America. You're allowed to be whatever kind of person you want. I'm not. I'm sincerely opposed, have always been, and will always be. But the style of debate where you prevent the other side from talking or being heard because you immediately go to motive. Well, I wonder why you're asking that question. I wonder why. Why are you asking that question? I detect in the question a certain evil in your soul. And everyone listening should know that listening to you implicates them. And that they someday may be asked to denounce you. And that friendship is not a reason to defend someone. Love is no defense. I kind of thought we'd reached the end of that. And as far as I'm concerned, we have. And I'm not going to play by those rules. I'm not going to engage in that. If someone doesn't like what I think, fine with me, as long as I get to express it. That's my view.
So that was Tucker's pretty forceful response to Ben Shapiro. And he's exactly right, obviously. Obviously, he's exactly right. I mean, all you have to do is listen to Ben Shapiro himself from a couple years ago talk about the evils of identity politics when it wasn't his group, when it wasn't his identity. He's very clear-sided about it. It's that he's betrayed those values, betrayed those so-called principles that he obviously never held in the first place, and is now engaged in exactly the same cancel culture on the right that we opposed on the left. So there's no MAGA civil war. I'll say it again. Doesn't exist. It's actual MAGA. It's actually America First. And then it's the interlopers like Ben Shapiro, who has been on the wrong side of every single issue, who has opposed Trump every time it's been convenient, talking about DeSantis. 2016, he was against him. I mean, he gloms on to this movement that he was never a part of and didn't help build, and now wants to dictate who's allowed in it. It's unacceptable and ridiculous. Here's Ben Shapiro, clip number 13 blaming white men for their struggles, basically telling them to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Again, just a message that would have been a resounding success 15 years ago. But now, no, we've seen the actual data and the statistics and the outcome of the blatant discrimination against white people. So what are you even talking about? Let's watch.
Ben, we only have a few 30 seconds left, maybe, but question close to my heart. How can we reach young men nowadays, especially young men who are really interested in culture and who they are as young men in a society that really rejects masculinity?
So I think, first of all, we need to remove the obstacles for them. There's a great piece over at Compact talking about the obstacles for young white men in industry. Of course, those need to be removed. The Trump administration has done a great job of fighting DEI, but they need to unleash the DOJ on anybody who is violating the Civil Rights Act of 65 with regard to young white men, for sure. And then we need to say something to young men. Get off your ass and go do the thing. Seriously, stop telling all young white men that all of their grievances when it comes to making basic good decisions for their lives are justified. Those decisions are not always justified. Here are things you can do. Finish high school, get a job, get married, have kids, go to church. Those are all in your control. You pretending that those things are not pandering to that sort of stuff are making people's lives actively worse.
I agree. Go to church, get married, graduate high school, get a job. All very good advice. Not doing anything to correct the systemic abuses that white people have been subjected to for the last several decades. I mean, it's not speculation anymore. I mean, we know this has been the case. So why would your advice be accept that? And he says, well, you know, Trump should go after those people. But why should young white men not get involved, not speak up about this? Nobody's telling white men that they can't do anything about it. In fact, white men didn't even need that advice when they were kept out of mainstream journalism. They went to Substack and actually have been hugely successful. Ben Shapiro, when you stopped Nick Fuentes, tried to prevent him from having a career, he just went off on his own solo and is now dominating you and mogging you at every possible chance. So what are you even talking about? What he's saying essentially is just keep your head down, you know, pay your taxes, get married, live a small life, don't be involved, don't collectivize, don't advocate for your own self-interest. Ben Shapiro does that. You know, he organizes and he's a part of a wider construct of political pressure to benefit his people. But he doesn't want you to do that. He just wants you to get a job as a plumber and just while away and pay your taxes while Ben Shapiro and his friends, dominate the elite class of, world controllers. You don't have to do that. You don't have to accept that. Ben Shapiro is gaslighting you because he's a liar. Okay?
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, fruit punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6 and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never popped it on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexshow.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four, straight ahead.
Receiving this transmission, You are the resistance.